Well, thank you for coming out to our Pilots Night 2016. We are excited that you're here to be able to listen to the young people perform tonight. I first of all just want to start off saying thank you so much to the church folks and the families here in the church that put a lot of effort into Pilots beforehand, before Pilots get started, and then while Pilots is going on. Some of you that are just here for tonight, this is just a short glimpse of what Pilots is really like. There's over 20 schools, right at 20 schools, that will be here from Wednesday afternoon all the way till Friday afternoon. And they come all the way from Texas, so they come a long ways and participate in what's really culminated over several months and months of practice and preparation. And so tonight we're just doing a little bit. It's not 100%, but this allows us to get some of the nerves out. And just going through the practices that we've had so far, there's been some nerves, just a little bit. So, but that's all right. We'll get through tonight. And then, you know, one of the big things, the opportunity they have is to hopefully one day, Lord willing, as we heard Brother Heath talk about on Wednesday night, to use their talents for the Lord. That's what we want them to do, is to take what God's given them and to use it in the ministry someday, wherever God may put them, even if it's not in the full-time ministry, at least a full-time Christian. Amen. And so that's the goal, that's the purpose of Pilots. We'll finish tonight with our choir. And the choir normally, as they're performing, they don't use any amplification. But because of recording purposes tonight, we will use some mics for the choir. Starting out tonight's program is the junior high trio of Kayla Heyman, Isabel Nelson, and Abby Thomason singing Trust in His Hand.
Yes, when we don't understand,
You turned me off. Oh, there we go. New to Faith Baptist Academy in Pilots this year, 7th grader Emma Duchesne will now perform her violin solo, Come Thou Fount. We have several categories, as you can see on the bump outs, and so we'll talk about several of these this evening. And generally, we have the students stand, but they're all in so many of them, we would have them stand on just every event. So there are a few that we'll highlight, though, throughout the evening. The academic category of essay, poetry, and short story writing are in the process of being judged before pilots. However, this year's entries may be read out in the foyer there. The tests for math calculations for junior and senior high, written spelling and the history challenge take place on the first day of convention. They go back to back there. Then the top 10 who place in the written spelling move on to an oral spelling competition on Thursday. We've talked about having it on stage, but I think that would scare them to death. So they do it in a room, and the top 10 are able to move on from there. Faith Baptist Academy's academic bowl team this year is Taylor Bruner, if she'll stand, in math and science, Brianna Heyman in History and English, Natalie Nelson in History and English, and Mindy Reardon in Math and Science. It's the first place team right there. In order to be eligible for CAP, the highest award given, students must also be involved in the ministries of their churches. So you see the four here. We also have a Christian living category. And they have to place in each one of those categories. And depending on how well they do, that's how they win the overall award. So first through fifth place, they might place in every one, but somebody else might get higher than them. So they would win the overall CAP award. Eligible for CAP are Colt Adams, Taylor Bruner, Emma Duchesne, Brianna Heyman, Natalie Nelson, and Bethany Seaman. Congratulations to them. The platform category includes illustrated storytelling, similar to what a lesson would be like in Sunday school or junior church. Performing his illustrated story, Heaven and Hell, is Colt Adams.
Hello, today I'm going to do a male illustrated storytelling on Heaven and Hell. Jesus was hung on the cross, and the cross was then placed in the hole that had been dug for it. Pontius Pilate put a sign on the cross to tell who Jesus was, and two thieves were crucified alongside of Jesus. and that one thief finally turned to Jesus. Then the soldiers gambled for the garments of Jesus, that represents dice, and another soldier thrust a spear into the side of Jesus. We should represent this with the world today. Many hate Christ, but some have turned to Him like the thief on the cross. The Bible also tells us that there are many altars in the Bible. I use the one with Cain and Abel, and we should remember to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, and that we should give our talents to God. Have we all done this? Have we given our talents to God? The Bible also speaks about how we should not put our light under a bed. And that we should not hide our light under a bushel, which is just a basket. But the Bible says that we should let our light so shine upon men and put it on a candlestick so it might be seen by all. We should also remember that God has made a place for the devil, and that that place is where the fire and all that is going to be, and that anyone who doesn't accept Jesus as their Savior go to that place with the devil, and that place is called hell. The Bible, many people believe in heaven, but say there is no place such as hell. The Bible says that hell is a real place, and that anyone who does not believe in Jesus will go to hell. But God has made a place for those who do accept Him, and that's heaven. And then when Jesus comes back, we will go with Him in heaven, and then we will have everlasting life. Finally, the letter I is left. This represents that it is I who must make the decision. If I reject Him, I am lost. If I accept Him, I am saved. This makes it a very personal decision. Yes, it is I who must make the decision. But what about you? Have you made this decision?
Making her way to the piano is Isabel Nelson playing How Can I Fear? Just to give you all an idea, throughout the week, I was talking about how these four different categories, just in the area of singing and vocal, there's one room, the female vocal room, they'll see 59 or so different performances in a day and a half. So it's quite a lot just for one room, and it's spread out over several rooms in this building as well as in the school building also. Next category, arts and crafts, includes craftsmanship entries such as wood and metalworking, artistic entries like sketching, pen and ink, and painting, technological entries such as graphic design and photography, and practical arts such as sewing and baking. The students have spent many hours on their projects, and several of their entries are on display in the foyer for viewing after the services. I do hope you get a chance to go back there and look through all those. I won't ask, there have been some that have crashed and burned some categories. If just Jamesons have a few pictures if you'd like to see those after the services tonight. And a new patio table is on its way as well. So there you go for the metalworking. Hoping to bring about world peace in their one-act play, International Relationships are Brianna Heyman, Delilah Pixley, Sierra Pixley, Mindy Reardon, and Lauren Smith.
USA.
Hey there, it's been a while. How are your provinces?
Oh, they grow up so fast, eh? I've got my hands full with 10. I don't know how you take care of 50 states.
Yeah, you know, it's not easy. The southern ones went through a rebellious phase.
And what about the adopted ones?
Oh, Alaska and Hawaii. See, I haven't told them yet, but I think they've kind of figured it out by now.
And the really loud one?
Texas is still Texas.
Hang out sometime, play baseball.
Hockey.
What's
baseball?
Oh, sorry, I gotta take this. Hey, China, baby, how's it going? Yes, I know I owe you a lot of money. Always gotta make it about money. You know what? I will give it to you tomorrow. Do you like $4 trillion by tomorrow?
What am I saying? You're Canada.
Okay, listen. I will give you my watch until I can pay. Oh, that's right. You didn't make this. China, you can't tell me what to do. Okay, I will do that. Bye.
We're super close. Besties. Kind of like Taiwan.
Who? Oh, Heidi.
What? Ugh. She's your mother, for Pete's sake. You guys haven't fought since 76.
I know, but it's awkward.
I told her to tell you are moving out on your own and in person, and not of her declaration.
I gotta go. I got some huggy stuff to buy.
Oh, hi, USA. Didn't even see you there, which is weird, considering you put on a lot of land.
Hi, Britain.
You know, I've just felt so free these last few centuries with you abandoning your mother and all. I've just had so much time to myself now that I don't have to look out for you anymore. Honestly, I've gotten over you leaving. Haven't even looked back.
You tried to kidnap me in 1812.
Yes, well, that's because you're still a kid. Completely incompetent and unable to take care of yourself.
I'm at 239. And you know, I would have never even considered leaving your small, still streets if you would let me worship God the correct way.
Oh, really?
Yes, I want to be a nation built on the foundation of the Bible, God's Word, and not some false religion that glorifies man instead of God.
Oh, well, I haven't read that in your public school curriculums lately.
Okay, you know what? Oh, here goes Russia.
Oh, I'm not doing anything suspicious. La, 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 la. Hey, Britain, USA, how's it going?
Oh, hello, Russia. Where exactly are you going?
Oh, I'm just, you know, looking for Ukraine or any of my other surrounding countries. I got a present for them. Yep, that's me, sweet as can be. Whoops. Oh, you didn't see that, did you?
Nope, not at all.
Good.
Anyway, you seriously need to accept the fact that I'm my own country now. Like, it's starting to get annoying with all your attempts to get me back. Like, you're like desperate to the other countries.
Desperate?
Yes, you've used every excuse from the book. Oh, USA, I'm having a war, come help me. Oh, USA, I'm having another war. Oh, USA, I'm having an Olympics, come destroy me in every event.
Oh, whatever. I don't need you or your bad credit.
Well, I played about football.
Oh, fine, whatever. Have a nice obesity epidemic, USA.
Hey, Britain. Plan.
Okay, that's too far.
Stop it, enough, you two!
Who are you?
I'm the UN, and I am here to help.
Oh, yeah. You're that annoying guy who always pops up in the middle of something, even though I had everything under control.
Yes, but you have yourself to thank for that. Okay, everyone, I am calling the UN meeting right now! Oh, he said he didn't want to get involved.
Where's France, though?
Fashion week.
Oh, that makes sense.
Okay, everyone, I am calling this meeting to order. Now, I foresaw that there would be problems between U.S. and Britain, so I've labored for countless hours on a compromise I'm sure will work. Peace.
That's it? Shouldn't we at least look at past situations and figure out what worked best for them?
Oh, Canada, you say the funniest things sometimes. Like, what kind of idea is that?
Yes, and frankly, I'm way too smart to need to do that. I mean, if you look at my track record, you'd see that I got this under control. So, there's my proposal on the table. And the only other option is World War III, which no one wants.
I do! World War III! Oh, come on, guys. I actually have a chance at winning this time.
Well, I guess we'll choose.
Yes, I guess that's the best option.
Great. So let's sign a pointless treaty and agree to a friendly get-together next month.
Yeah, you know, it might not be so bad to get together.
Yeah, I mean, we could play some football for entertainment even.
The right kind of football, of course.
Now don't start that up again.
I'm just trying to clarify.
Oh, I suppose you'd rather drink coffee instead of tea, too.
Well, of course. Ever heard of America Runs on Dunkin'?
Okay, that's it. This is not going to work. Some regards to your military. Oh, wait! You don't have one. Thanks, Obama.
Two words for it. Fake royalty.
And this is why I stick to hockey. So, China. I've heard some countries owe you a lot of money. And I was just wondering, have you ever considered a World War III?
Scripture memory comes in two forms in Pilate's. One is memorizing 3 to 15 chapters, and the other is reciting 25 verses. Taylor Bruner is participating in both categories, and tonight we'll recite Psalms 34, 8 through 22.
O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, you children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and they that fear him shall not want any good thing. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, and his eyes are open unto their cry. Their righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and the Lord delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all of his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate.
It's a blessing to have those that have come from our bus ministry to participate in our program. I was just thinking about this morning while driving the bus, and whether you're in our school or not, having Ray here play his guitar this morning, it was a blessing to hear him sing. Yes, humility, Ray. That's exactly right, buddy. Yes. Oh, thank you, Ray. The music category consists of vocal and instrumental entries ranging from solos to large groups. Besides choir, each participant also sings in a small musical group. There are also some students playing an instrument, events such as guitar, strings, and piano. Anticipating an upcoming rainstorm is Chloe Adams performing her monologue, Mrs. Noah.
Hello, neighbor. Why, yes, it is big, isn't it? Too big? Oh, I know. I'm sure it's just the right size. The contractor was very exact about the size. Yes, it's the right size. Is it my husband who's been preaching that judgment is coming? Yes, that's my Noah, and that is Noah's ark. I know I've been causing quite a stir in the neighborhood. Well, how do you think I felt when Noah came home one day and announced that God had told him to build an ark? I didn't even know what an ark was. Yes, it seemed mighty strange to me too, especially when all those animals climbed into the ark, two of every sort. Do you remember how the ground shook when the elephants climbed on board? We received several complaints about that situation. Yes, ma'am. For 120 years now, he's been sawing lumber, driving wooden pegs, and spreading tar on that ark. You would not believe what I have to deal with when I do laundry. I've been scrubbing on that tar for 100 years. What a mess. But we'll soon be very thankful for that ark, because God has a plan for everything. Even in the beginning, when God created the earth, he merely spoke, and there was light. Then came the land and the seas, the plants and animals, the sun, moon, and thousands of stars to light up the sky. And then, God made man, you and me, and he put us here to oversee what he's created to glorify him. Yes, God has a plan for everything, that's for sure. But look at the mess we've made of things. Just look around you. Life's become a big party. There's eating, drinking, and all kinds of carrying on. God said that every imagination and thought in man was evil continually, so judgment has been passed upon all of us. God said it's going to rain. No, I don't know what it is, but it must be water because it's going to make a flood. Whether you believe it or not, it's true. It's going to rain 40 days and 40 nights, and every living thing will be destroyed except for our family. You can be safe from this terrible flood too. All you have to do is get on the ark. The only difference between us right now is that our family has found grace in the eyes of the Lord by seeking forgiveness. We trust that God will save us on the ark of Noah's and anybody else that wants to come on board. Why don't you join us? What's that? You just can't believe that a God of love would do such a terrible thing? Well, he's also a just God, you know, and he will always keep his word, and we do deserve this judgment, even if we don't think we're all that bad. but God has provided a way for you to be saved. It's that ark over there. Why don't you believe and enter into the ark with us? But do it quickly while there is still time. God said it's going to rain. God told us it's going to rain. I'm sure the rain will start any moment now. What? Yes, Noah, I'll be right there. Oh, please, neighbor, won't you come now? Here's a shelter from the flood, an ark of safety. Won't you believe and come in and be saved? God loves you. He wants to save you, too. Oh, please, neighbor, I beg you, please come in. Yes, Noah, I'm coming.
Hoping to strum his way to a first-place ribbon is Alberto Rodriguez playing As the Deer. Platform events such as monologues, dialogues, speeches, preaching, illustrated stories, and many more teach the students public speaking skills that will help them take positions as Sunday school teachers, bus captains, and church workers someday. Lord willing, that's what our prayer is. And now performing their dramatic dialogue entitled Slingin' Stone, our sisters Delilah and Sierra Pixley.
Hi.
I'm Sling.
I'm Stone.
Nice to meet ya.
Back at ya. Who's this kid?
Oh, him? That's David. Nice boy. Smells like sheep, though.
Good shot?
Excellent shot. He's killed, like, lions, tigers, and bears.
Oh, my.
Yeah. He rocks. Hey, you rock.
No, I'm Stone.
No, I meant, never mind.
Well, I'm glad he's a good shot. The last guy who tried picking me up was skipping rocks and trying to impress some girl. Awful. I've been swimming in that stream ever since. I think he may have gotten pruney.
So you've heard then?
Heard what?
About this giant guy.
Giant? Oh yeah, you mean Goliath?
Yeah, that's the one.
Scary dude. Bad breath too. Every day he's out there bellowing and bragging, defying the armies of Israel, blah blah blah.
He's huge.
He's huge, all right.
Enormous.
Monstrous.
So tall he blocks the sun.
The moon and stars too.
And David's going to fight him.
David's going to what?
Fight him.
Fight him?
Yeah.
With what?
With me.
Oh.
And you.
What?
No, remember, he's a good shot.
Are you kidding me? He's just a kid. He probably throws like a girl.
You have nothing to worry about.
Nothing to worry about? Nothing to worry about? You have nothing to worry about except getting a little dizzy from all the hurling and twirling. I have the twirling and whirling to worry about, in addition to the hurling and soaring through the air towards the beastly, bell-aching, bad breath monstrosity.
Nice alliteration.
Thanks.
You can do this.
You think that little old me can take down that? Huh, no way. You got the wrong stone. Hey, David, pick up some other stone, because I can't do it.
Come on. I believe in you. He believes in you. I believe that you believe that we believe in you. Come on. The giant is good as gone. If you just calm down. Calm down.
Can't do it. Nope. Can't make me do it. Can't make me...
Pull yourself together.
I can't do it.
You can do it. Stone, he picked you out of all the other stones in the stream.
Well, he also picked up some other guys, too.
You're missing the point. He chooses carefully and wisely because he knows what he is doing. He thinks of the perfect size, the perfect shape, the perfect stone for this. So what are you going to do? Let some other stone do what he chose you to do? Or are you going to join me in this great adventure?
Well, he better be a really good shot.
He is. All right, you rock.
I am not rock. I am stone.
No, I meant... Never mind. Hold tight.
All right, now remember, you can do this.
I can do this.
Say it louder.
I can do this.
Woo! Here I go.
You can do this. I know you can. Oh, she did it. Ooh, that's gotta hurt. Good shot.
Some people, it doesn't take much. Their side of comedy comes out. Just chip off the old block, Brother Jay, right there. That's the wife, okay. Natalie Nelson, Mindy Reardon, and Lauren Smith are entering female trio singing Blessed Be the Name.
As the sun rose that morning on the day of Job's trial, he rose up to serve God as any other day. Bound and determined to live in God's favor, and nothing would stand in his way. Then the messengers came one by one with their stories. In just a few moments, Job lost all he had. Great wealth and riches, the health of his body, and even his children were dead. The Lord giveth, he taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I served him before and I'll serve him today. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Job's wife came before him to voice her opinion. She said, you should end it, just curse God and die. Job rose from the ashes, he looked toward the heavens, he brushed back the tears in his eyes.
He said, the Lord giveth, he taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. I served him before and I'll serve him today, blessed be the name of the Lord. When troubles come silently, blessed be the name.
When the storm winds blow violently,
blessed be the name. When Satan comes oppressing me, blessed be the name. I'll still serve God faithfully, blessed be the name. The Lord giveth, he taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I served him before and I'll serve him today. Blessed be the name.
Last year of Pilots, senior Brianna Heyman will recite her poem, A Little Pilgrim.
One summer eve, ere the sun went down, when city men were hasting from the town to reach their homes, some near at hand, some far, by snorting train, by omnibus or car, to be beyond the reach of the city's din. A streetcar stopped. A little girl got in. A cheery-looking girl, scarce 4 years old. Although not shy, her manners were not bold. But all alone, one could scarce understand. She held a bundle in her little hand, a tiny handkerchief with corners tied, but which did not some bread and butter hide. A satin scarf, so natty and neat, was over her shoulder thrown. She took her seat and laid her bundle underneath her arm. Then smiling prettily, yet so calm, to the conductor said, "May I sit here?" He answered instantly, "Oh, yes, my dear." And there she seemed inclined to make her stay, but once again the car went on its way. The tall conductor, over 6 feet high, now scanned the travelers with a business eye. But in that eye was something kind and mild that took notice of the little child. A little after, the man went round, and soon was heard the familiar sound of gathering fares and clipping tickets, too. The car was full, and he had much to do. "Your fare, my little girl," at length he said. She looked for a moment, shook her head. "I have no pennies, don't you know?" said she. "My fare is paid, and Jesus paid for me." He looked bewildered. All the people smiled. "Why, no, I didn't. And who is Jesus, child?" "Why, don't you know? He once for sinners died, for little children, and men beside, to make us good and wash us from our sin. Is this his real way that I'm traveling in?"
"Don't think it is. I want your fare, you know."
"I told you, Jesus paid it long ago. My mother told me, just before she died, that Jesus paid when he was crucified. That at the cross his railway did begin, that took poor sinners from a world of sin. My mother told me his home is grand and fair. I want to go and see my mother there. I want to go to where Jesus lives. Oh, won't you go too? My mother said he gives loving welcome. Shall we not be late? I want to get there before he shuts the gate, and bid little children to come unto him." The poor conductor's eyes felt rather dim. He knew not why. He fumbled at his coat and felt a substance rising in his throat. The people listened to the little child. Some were in tears. The roughest even smiled. And someone said, as they looked amazed, "Out of the mouth of babes, the Lord is praised." "I am a pilgrim," said the little thing. "I'm going home. My mother used to sing to me of Jesus and his father's love. Told me to meet her in his home above. And so today, when Aunt went out to tea, and looking out, I could not father see. I got my bundle, this my little kit. I am so hungry, I like to have a little bit. And got my hat, and I left my home, a little pilgrim up to heaven to roam. And then your nice car stopped, and I could see. You look so kind, I saw you beckon me. I thought, you must belong to Jesus' train. And are you going home to heaven again?" The poor conductor only nodded his head. Tears in his eyes, the power of speech had fled. Had conscience by her prattle roused his fears and struck upon the fountain of his tears? It made his thoughts in sad confusion whirl. At last, he said, "I had a little girl. I loved her much. She was my little pet. And with great fondness, I remember yet how much she loved me. But one day she died. She's gone to heaven, the little girl replied. She's gone to Jesus. Jesus paid her fare. Oh, dear conductor, won't you meet her there? The poor conductor now broke fairly down. He could have borne the harshest look or frown, but no one laughed. And many sitting by beheld the scene with a sympathetic eye. He kissed the child, for she his heart had won.
I am so sleepy, said the little one. If you will let me, I will lie here and wait until your streetcar comes to Jesus' gate. Be sure to wake me up and pull on my frock. And at the gate, just give one little knock, and you'll see Jesus there. The strong man wept. I could but think as from the car I stepped, how oft the little one has found the road, that narrow pathway to that blessed abode, whose faith in Christ has read its title clear. Well, learned men remain in doubt and fear. A little child, the Lord often uses such, the stoutest heart to break, to bend, to touch. Then by his Spirit bids the conflict cease, and once forever enters into peace. And now to all the happy news we bear, that Jesus paid our fare.
Amen.
We are the Faith Baptist Academy Choir, and we will be singing Not the Half Dozen Told.
Light of man cannot conceive the preparation.
They are graded on everything, scored on everything from their coming up to the platform to how well they look at the choir leader to how they leave the platform and everything. And so that's why the promptness or the preciseness of it. And that's more formal than what we would use in our church services, but they did an outstanding job tonight. I just want to say I appreciate it. You know, this is not our largest group number-wise, but it has been one of the funnest groups that I've had the privilege of being associated with here. I have thoroughly enjoyed being with them in Bible class and in chapel with the whole school on Tuesdays when I'm in town. And I was sitting there thinking tonight, my mind was just flooded with memories of young people, different faces who have crossed this platform now, and how many years of doing pilots here. I've lost track. This is the 20th year, 21st year of having the pilots convention, and all the young people that have come through here and are now out using what God's given them and the Lord's work. And my wife and I went to Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina, this past Monday and Tuesday, which is just about an hour and a half from the Virginia border, with Brother Jeremy Coburnett, whose dad just passed away suddenly, and then his wife Joanna was Brother Brown's oldest daughter, and Trevor Himes and his wife Rebecca, who was a Gallipet. They drove an hour and a half to be in the services, at least an hour and a half. They drove an hour and a half both nights, Monday and Tuesday, to come. And they participated in pilots' conventions here as students, and they're serving the Lord today. And just about everywhere I have the privilege of going and speaking in a church, there is somebody or a group of young people there who said, you know, sometimes we didn't always enjoy what our teachers and administrator made us do in pilots, but now we look back on it as a wonderful, wonderful time. And they're using their abilities and talents. So, church, thank you for all the work you've put into these conventions over the years. I believe it's worth it. I believe it's paid off. And I think the young people did a great job tonight. And just thank them for all their time and effort, and those who lead them have put into it. Open your Bible to 2 Chronicles 34. I'm fully aware of the time, and because of that, have a very brief message tonight. But I do want to jump right back into the series that I was had been preaching on Sunday nights, called Seasons of Life Building. Seasons of Life Building. There is a purpose for every season of life. And we're dividing life into soft decades, if you will. And for this part of it, using King Josiah as a model or an example of things that are important at different seasons of life. Look with me at verse number 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. So he's 8 years of age when he begins to reign as king. Think about that. Verse 2, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. We talked about that first decade of life for several Sunday nights, and I won't review all of that other than to say some of the important matters in the first decade of life is that children learn to do right, obey their parents, honor God, know what's right, just be right and obedient as young people, and be honest in the sight of God and man. And then in verse number 3, for in the 8th year of his reign, so now he started reigning at age 8, he's 8 years into his reign, he's 16 years of age. At age 16, the Bible says, while he was yet young. And we talked about this second decade of life and how that young people need to stay humble and remember that even though they are older than they used to be when they were children, they are still not fully grown, mature adults. Stay humble in their own sight and remember that they are yet young. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I said, you know, nothing's more nauseating than a teenager who knows it all, who has an unteachable spirit, who can't be taught, has an unteachable attitude. And yet the Bible says that age 16, Josiah was young. So teenagers need to remember that they are young. They need to work on their relationship with God. The Bible says that in verse number 3, he began to seek after the God of David his father. That's when he's 16 years of age. So he began to pursue God and pursue a relationship with God. And then we talked on that one Sunday night about the matter of being right with your authority, and how that your authority is your protection in life. and get along with your authorities, and that's important as a teenager. Now look with me at verse number 3 again, in the middle of the verse. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. So he's in the 12th year of his reign. He started at age 8. He's 12 years into his reign. This means in verse number 3 now, he is 20 years of age. And at 20 years of age, Josiah began to be very active for God and for right. At age 20, if you will, Josiah, Brother Larry, had picked up the mantle and begun to serve God and to be for right. At 20 years of age, Josiah begins to purge Judah and Jerusalem from false gods and their places of worship. And man, I'm telling you what, he didn't do it just casually. He threw himself into it, and you can read there. I won't take the time tonight to read those verses 4, 5, and 6. But I mean, brother, he put his all into it. He purged Jerusalem, and he began to work to cleanse and purify his nation. So at age 20, here's my point tonight, Josiah takes a strong stand in his life for God and for right. And he did this by standing against what was false and wrong. At age 20, Josiah truly believed that there was a difference between right and wrong and between good and evil. And I like that. I like that about this man. And I think it's something that 20-year-olds need to seek to emulate, the early adult years of life. 20, that's this decade that begins with about age 18, 19, and 20. I hope this is something that we are not losing in the young adults of today. And I'm not talking about young people who are not in church. I'm talking about young adults who've been reared in church. I hope we're not... It seems sometimes that there is a generation who just puts no difference between good and evil, between right and wrong. Or if they do put a difference between good and evil or right and wrong, it's a soft difference. What do you mean by a soft difference? It's an attitude of, well, you know, I'm not for that, and I wouldn't do that, but if they choose to do it and that's the way that they want to live, then it doesn't bother me. Let them live that way. And I'll tell you what, friend, I say it's time that evil and wrong start bothering our young adults. We need a young generation of maturing adults who are not afraid to be against evil and against wrong. Stand up for right and be vocal about it. You know, God places a difference between right and wrong and good and evil. In Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 10, God told Aaron and his sons to put a difference between the holy and the unholy, and the unclean and the clean. In Ezekiel 22:26, God said his priests had violated his law and profaned his holy things. And listen, they had not put a difference between the holy and the profane. They had not put a difference between the unclean and the clean. And God was not happy. In Ezekiel 44:23, God said that his priests should teach the people the differences between holy and profane and cause them to discern between unclean and clean. The word discern means to choose, to make a difference between unclean and clean. In Isaiah 5:20, the prophet said, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil." There are people out in the world who put no difference between right and wrong, between good and evil. In 1 Kings chapter 3, verse number 9, Solomon prayed for an understanding heart that he might discern between good and bad. In Hebrews 5:14, the Bible says that strong meat is for mature people of God who have grown and exercised their senses to discern both good and evil. Now, there is a very apathetic, passive, and careless attitude toward evil and wrong among younger adults in society today. And I'll tell you something, folks. For those who are on the side of evil and wrong, they're not passive about it. They're outspoken, they're vocal, they take to the streets, they go bonkers, they go haywire. Some city, some mayor in North Carolina signed an ordinance that said that, signed an ordinance, or the mayor or something, that localities could not pass laws laws that would give civil rights to sodomite people. And he said, no, you can't do that. And the people out in California went crazy. They went bonkers. They took to the streets. And the mayor of San Francisco banned all travel for their public employees to North Carolina. Said, we're not going to even pay your way to go to North Carolina. My point is, they are not shy about standing up for what they believe. And we got Christian young adults who are timid and afraid to be against that which is wrong and against that which is evil. And I'm going to tell you, when Josiah hit age 20, brother, he put this thing into high gear. And he wasn't afraid to stand up against evil and wrong. And God commended him for it. God commended him for it. He was a young adult man who was passionate and active and caring about the differences between right and wrong and good and evil. Now, let me just give you three thoughts tonight and it will shut her down. Number one, you young adults especially, and I'm saying young adults, I'm saying 18, 19, 20, 21. You've been reared in school, you've been reared in your homes and in church, and now you're starting out on life as a young adult on your own. Let me just give you some suggestions. Learn from the Bible what is right and what is wrong. Learn from the Bible what is right and what is wrong. This book is the plumb line, folks. Society is not the plumb line. Okay? Society is not the plumb line. Okay? The opinions of society is not the plumb line. The plumb line is whatever God says. So learn what God says is right. Learn what God says is wrong. You know, there's an interesting thing about Hebrews 5:12. I mentioned that verse a moment ago. It talks about how God's people should come to a point in time when they can handle the meat of God's Word. And they come to that point of maturity by exercising their senses, the Bible says, to discern both good and evil. That's interesting. What are the organs of sense? Well, there are ears, there are eyes, there are noses, our tongues, our hands, if you will, where we hear and we see and we taste and we smell and we feel. And they are used here. Senses are used here as symbolic of the inward senses of the soul and spirit. The spiritual organs of the soul and spirit have been exercised, used to hear and to see and to taste and to smell and to touch the differences between good and evil, right and wrong. And the truth of God's Word has so embedded itself into their learning that they discern through spiritual senses. They get into a situation and they think to themselves, this doesn't sound right. This doesn't look right. This doesn't smell right. This doesn't feel right. How much wrong and sin and evil can be avoided by being alert, having spiritual senses that are alert to the differences between right and wrong? And that's what I say. You've got to learn what the Bible says is right. Learn what the Bible says is wrong. Exercise your spiritual senses. Get the Word of God embedded into your heart and life. And you're going to get into situations as young adults where you're going to sense, this doesn't look right. This doesn't smell right. This doesn't feel right. This is not right. That's what he's talking about here. And folks, maturity is spoken of in the sense of being against that which is wrong and against that which is evil. Maturity is not having a soft shell approach and being reasonable about sin and reasonable about wrong and reasonable about evil. Maturity is coming to the place where you discern the difference between the two and you stand up for that which is right and against that which is wrong. And I'm saying the other side of the coin is standing up for what they believe in. It's time for our young adults in this generation to stand up and be for right. So learn what the Bible says. Number two, let me say this tonight. Stand when you can and where you can. Stand when you can and where you can. Now, most of you will never have the capability to address evil the way Josiah did on a national level. Okay? But that doesn't mean that you can't address it where you can, when you can. At work, stand up for right. And when your coworkers make silly statements about the sins of our nation and the sins of our society, and statements where they promote the doing of wrong and doing of evil, somebody somewhere has got to stand up and be a voice for right. You may not be able to make a difference on a national level, but you can make a difference right where you work. Make a difference among your relatives. Now, this is not easy, especially as families fracture into different values and moral practices. You know, there were times when our kids were all at home and our family believed in certain rights and certain wrongs, and sometimes that didn't always fit in all the plans of my extended family, and especially, and it was a little bit awkward at times to take a stand for right and wrong, but you need to put a difference between right and wrong when it comes to your family and always fall on the side of right. Always fall on the side of what is right and what is good. Take a stand in the community. You say, what can I do in my community? Well, I'm going to tell you what. When Burger King starts selling their Proud Whoppers wrapped in their rainbow wrappers, you could take your business to Chick-fil-A. You say, well, I don't spend that much at Burger King. I wouldn't spend a dime at Burger King. You say, and I understand, friend, it's hard to be consistent. And, you know, all these companies are endorsing homosexuality. I understand that. But, you know, you can do what you can where you can. Now, you don't have to. But my favorite hamburger is a Whopper. I'll be honest with you. That is it's the worst one for you. That's why they're so good. I love them. But I've not eaten a Whopper forever. I'm not going to. Because they put those things in a rainbow wrapper and called it the Proud Whopper and said there is no difference inside. You know what that's saying? That we're all the same. I'll tell you, we're not all the same. We don't believe all the same. You can make a difference against evil and wrong where you are, where you can, when you can. Then let me say this tonight to the young adults. Teach your own the differences between right and wrong and good and evil. You see, God expected it from His priests. And He expects the same from us. And here is something that you can do. You can start to teach your own kids and others that you influence the importance of putting a difference between right and wrong and good and evil. And you start by putting the difference in your own home. Start this personally. Make sure your music is right. Make sure your entertainment is clean. Make sure your talk is right. Make sure your boundaries are set. Make sure your parameters are clear. And don't be ashamed of right. And don't be ashamed of good. And be willing to teach your children the differences between right and wrong and good and evil. I just simply say tonight, in a hastened way, I trust that God will give us a generation of young adults who have a passion, personally, privately, and publicly, against evil and for right. You say, well, I think we ought to just be for right. You can't be just for right without being against that which is wrong. You can't do that, friend. Josiah hit age 20. And brother, I mean, he took off for the Lord. And he took a strong stand against that which was wrong, that which was false, and that which was evil. He wasn't looking for compromise. He was looking for consecration. Not compromise, consecration. God give us a generation of young adults who are plugged into His book, who are not ashamed of the thus saith the Lord of the Word of God, who are not ashamed of the places where God has drawn the line between right and between wrong, and are willing to not only implement it in their own life, pass it on to their children, but stand up for it every chance they get along the way. Be a Josiah as a young adult, putting a difference between that which is right and that which is wrong. And God will bless you for doing it. Let's stand together, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Father in heaven, would you please take the brief and hurried comments tonight and encourage the hearts of our young adults in this room. And I pray, God, for those 18 years old and those 19 and 20 as they leave home, they leave the comfort zone, they begin to go to work in places or they begin to go off to school. I pray, God, as they begin to marry and have families, that you'll help them to be as Josiah and, Lord, take a strong stand for right and against wrong. I pray, dear God, that you'll help raise a generation of young people who are not ashamed of what they believe, and they're not ashamed of where God is, where you have drawn the lines, Lord, between right and wrong. Help us not to look for compromise, but to be concerned about consecration and being sold out to you and to what is right and holy and clean. God, make it so in our hearts and lives, please, I pray, in Jesus' name. Bless the future generations of Faith Baptist Church, I pray. I pray, God, that you'll raise a whole host of young people who are dedicated to serve you and not ashamed of you. And we'll thank you for it. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The altar will be open in just a minute. Some have already knelt and prayed, and if you'd like to do that, you may join them in just a moment. If you're not sure that you're saved, you're here tonight as a member or a visitor, it doesn't matter. If you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven, what better Sunday to come to know the Lord Jesus as Savior than Easter Sunday, the day we celebrate His resurrection from the dead. God loved you enough to send His Son, Jesus, to die for you and take your sin to the cross. Turn your heart to Him if you haven't already. Heads are bowed. Father, bless this time. As the ladies begin to play, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Anybody that wants to come, you step out to us while we wait. God, give us a generation of young adults, young people who are not ashamed of that which is right, willing to put a difference between right and wrong, clean and unclean, good and evil.